Grace and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm going to switch up a bit on you this morning. And the reason I'm going to do this is last Friday, we had the service for Tom, which followed by a wonderful presentation by the Military Honor Guard at the gravesite. And during that presentation by the Army, it struck me that what Tom lived through and what many soldiers lived through can be quite horrific at times, especially before a major initiatives or battles fought, in Tom's case, in Vietnam and in Cambodia. And then I wonder whether any soldier who fought in the front lines or ever entered a battle had absolute confidence that they were going to emerge victorious. Without the faintest doubt, no lingering thought that something might go wrong. Or does every soldier, no matter how courageous or resolute, carry at least a quiet awareness that this battle could be their last? In that same respect, I also imagined watching others around them about the commanders who were there. Did any general ever enter a battle by burning all the bridges behind him? Utterly convinced there would be no need for a retreat. I recall reading about generals who always had another plan, what they call a plan B, or an exit strategies, that if everything went wrong, how do we get out of here? How do I save my men? How do I move my army in retreat? And you have to plan, because you never know what's going to happen. But what if God himself enters a battle? Does he wonder how things are going to turn out? Does he hesitate? Does he weigh the odds? No, he doesn't, because he's God. He knows what's going to occur. And even when God enters the battlefield, as he did on earth, in a total state of what we refer to as humiliation, a state of humiliation, when he comes among us as the poor man from Nazareth, knowing he is about to suffer unspeakable pain, shame, and death, he is not anxious about the outcome. He's not uncertain. He's fully confident of how this battle will end. He has no need for a plan B. And that's the posture of Jesus in the hours right before the battle begins. And this is what I refer to as the battlefield letter home, as many soldiers did. Perhaps you've seen some of these letters that soldiers wrote before a battle. Perhaps you've written one yourself. Perhaps you've received one. Or you know somebody that did. And these letters are stirring. They're very emotional. They're heartbreaking. They're written with the awareness that tomorrow may never come. Some even read like their final goodbye. But none of those letters, moving as they are, can compare to this letter or this prayer, which you may have just heard a glimpse of in John 17. And I'd like you to remember that chapter. It's called the priestly prayer, Jesus' final letter to his Father. For this prayer is spoken on the very eve, of the battle. And unlike human battlefield letters, it doesn't, see, Jesus didn't tremble or shake. He was without fear. Was he sorrowful? Oh my, yes, he was sorrowful. Instead, his prayer, his letter, resounds with confidence to his Father. So he's so absolutely positive that the powers of hell are going to be shaken by him. Now, this is a very personal address, as you can see in the chapter, but it's available for all of us to read. But so often we gloss over. We gloss over from the Lord's Supper to let's jump to Gethsemane and let's jump to the arrest. We never seem to focus on that one section of the Bible, that very personal prayer. It's unlike anything you've ever read. It was incapable of any soldier, any king like King David, could have not write that or pray that. It doesn't carry a message of just moral courage. It's like a sacred incense rising up to God. And I'm not going to go through the complete section of that prayer, but I am going to read you the beginning of it because it is the essence of what we called D-Day on June 6th back in 45, 44. It's H hour, you know, the minute you strike the match. It's now or never. But here's what appears so strange. When we witness Jesus' encounter with the enemy, it looks as though he surrenders at the outset of the fight. He lays down his weapons. He allows himself to be, in Gethsemane, arrested. He appears passive. He appears weak, helpless, just as any other prisoner would assume. And he seems not to resist at all. But here's the point that I want you to all remember today. Appearances are often very deceiving. Those who conclude that Jesus did not fight or that he lost this battle, you're profoundly wrong. To understand the truth, listen to how he prays in John. This battlefield prayer is terribly unique. No one in history has ever prayed like that, not that kind of prayer. This is not a prayer of fear or uncertainty or of doubt. It is a prayer completely of assurance. Jesus knows exactly what's about to happen. He's fully aware of the stakes. Now, let's talk about the stakes of this battle. This battle is not about land. It's not about armies. It's not about governments. It is about your
soul, your very soul. That's what is hanging in the balance at that moment. The outcome of this battle is going to determine your destiny. Now, who are the combatants? Well, you know. It's not a big army. It's not unlimited resources. It's not overwhelming forces at all. Now, Jesus, as he said in Gethsemane, he said, could summon what was 12 legions, I think, was what he could summon. But no. He did this all by himself. He could have called, think about this, he could have called all the support he needed, but he did not, because he understood the only way to save us was him and him alone. He had to pay the price on that cross for you and I, all by himself. Remember, everybody ran away. Yeah, he looked weak. He looked like he submitted. He looked like he was suffering, which he was greatly. But listen to the first segment of this letter or this little prayer. He says, glorify your son, that the son may glorify you, Dad. You, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world even existed. I glorified you, Dad, on earth. But I have accomplished the work you gave me to do. Now that is not a voice of uncertainty. And the spoils of this victory, what he won that day, was not about him, because he fought for you. He died for you. He suffered for you. And he secured eternal life for you. The battle is unlike any other. Our Lord took on our sin. He took on death. And he took on hell itself. And he bore the entire weight of the humanity's sin. The solitary soldier who sweat blood in that garden, whose body will be broken, whose soul will be forsaken, this same soldier will rise, he'll ascend, he'll reign. He will be glorified with the glory he has shared with the Father and the Spirit from all eternity. And here's the best part of this whole message. He gave this to you. To you. For you. In Jesus, eternal life is yours. In Jesus, the war is won. In Jesus, we pass from this world of struggle into his kingdom of peace and of joy. This is one soldier's prayer that guarantees victory before the battle begins. And that victory, thanks be to God, he gives this day to you. Amen.